few weeks back, you might have been nuts to think this week's game in Seattle would feature a pair of division leaders, but that's where we are. Our guest hosts the NY Football Pod on the Believe Podcast Network. On Twitter, try the handle at @TinoRodriguez_. Welcome in Steven Rodriguez. Steve, much appreciate the time. How is life treating you during the craziness that is 2020?
Steve, first off, thanks for having me on, man. Who would have thought December would be here? And I think most people expected Seattle to be at least somewhere near the top. No one really expected the Giants. But, you know, COVID's running crazy around here. Obviously, it's in the league. But, you know, I'm trying to make the most of this season, whether we're at the games or not. I think the season would be a little more special for the Giants to be in first, and I can go watch some games. But, you know, we're watching it from home, and it's working so far. The Giants are rolling 3 in a row, man, and really can't complain.
So a little personal background, like where are you from as far as the sports loyalties? You know, I'm a North Jersey guy. A lot of times you go down the line, Giants, Knicks, Yankees, Rangers. Some people mix in a little Mets or Jets. So where do you stand on that?
So I am a Giants and Mets fan first and foremost. Now, I'm a Jersey guy, as we know, Hudson County. I am a New Jersey Nets fan. I now roll over to Brooklyn. I do claim the Brooklyn Nets, although some people would say that shouldn't be the case. I stand by it. I support my Jersey teams. I'm not a big fan of hockey. I'll root for the Devils when possible. Yeah, man, I think the way it works in Jersey is just, if you're old enough to remember when the Prudential Center and yeah, the Izod Center really hosting these New Jersey teams, and even MetLife, Giant Stadium, you know, it was right in your backyard, even though they're not called the New Jersey Giants or the New Jersey Jets. You know, New Jersey hosts a lot of these professional teams, and, you know, early 2000s, these teams were rolling. The Nets, the Devils, they were rolling. So growing up, sports was a big deal in Jersey in terms of professional sports, but more Mets and Giants, than anything, diehard.
Well, I'm old enough to go when the Nets and Devils played at the old Brendan Byrne Arena in the Meadowlands. So we're going way back. So what's the word? I've been trying to keep up. You're there. Danny Dimes got injured. Is there a word on how long he's going to be out and how damaging that is? And I guess throw in how much we trust Colt McCoy to hold down the fort.
So it's going to be a big-time pain tolerance thing. Danny was out on the field today. He wasn't in full participation in practice. Initially, to me, it kind of looked like a cramp. It looked like something that was just going to be a strain on him. And the way it looked like he was going through the pain, it was exactly that. Not too severe from the people I talked to. Out of the three grades of strains to your hamstring, it seems like a grade one. Now, he could suit up on Sunday still. I think there's an outside chance. They said he's going to travel with the team per Joe Judge. That doesn't mean he's going to play, but whether he's suiting up or not, he'll travel with the team. I don't know if that's the smartest thing for them to do, just because I've been a firm believer this week is going to be hell for the NFC East. You have a lot of good teams going against this NFC East division. I mean, everyone's a 9.5 or bigger underdog on the road at this point. So I think the Giants don't necessarily need to beat Seattle, but if you ask Joe Judge, he has full faith in Colt McCoy if he is the starter. And they fully inclined to go to Seattle and try to pull out a win, because at the end of the day, Danny is Danny and Colt is Colt. But this Giants defense is next level right now. And I think it would be hard to tell them, especially that unit that's playing at an elite top 10. I won't say top 5, but the numbers might even tell you top 5. At a level that, you know, as good as Russell is, I think they're going to give him some trouble on Sunday. I think Russell will have his work cut out for him at home.
Talking G-Men with Steven Rodriguez of the Believe in NY podcast. So in a market that has the Jets, who are obviously a laughing stock, as somebody who does what you do, lives where you live, would it be accurate to say that even as the Giants struggled early this season, had some real tough close losses, that there's been a sense that Joe Judge has this thing going in the right direction and there's at least been some optimism around this franchise?
100%, and I think it started from the day he took over, that press conference that he had. I think a lot of people didn't necessarily drink the Joe Judge juice right away like I did. It seemed like maybe it was too good to be true. He was saying all the right things, but to this day, and, you know, I give Joe Judge credit. I also want to give our DC, Patrick Graham, a lot of credit, because where the Giants were in terms of coaching and player development and just as an overall team, it was not very good the last couple of years. And yes, the Giants are 4-7, and they weren't expected. You know, they were probably expected to be 4-7, but the East wasn't expected to be this bad. So a lot of people knocking the Giants for being in first place right now, or knocking Giants fans for being happy about it, are being silly, because I think the Giants right now are exceeding their expectations, and it's a big tip of the cap to Joe Judge and this coaching staff, because on a shortened season with a new coaching staff, no off season, no preseason, you're getting these guys going, and you mentioned they haven't been blown out. I mean, one game against San Francisco was ugly, but other than that, this team has been competitive regardless of the competition, and I think that is a glaring change over the last couple of years. And the easiest way to point at the difference is Joe Judge and Patrick Graham and what they've been able to get out of their guys.
Absolutely agree. I want to talk about the offensive line. The fourth overall pick in the draft was Andrew Thomas at left tackle. You got an Oregon Duck, Shane Lemieux, who's moved in as a guard, a fifth-round pick. They got a second-year guy, Nick Gates, at center, a couple of vets. So I get it's kind of a work in progress, and as you alluded to, you haven't had the usual prep time, but what's the word on how they're coming together?
So the offensive line has been a bit of a talking point in New York, mainly because Joe Judge did let go of our offensive lineman coach who began the season in Mark Colombo. He came over with Jason Garrett, and we don't have to get too much into that, but there was a lot of speculation about it. But the word on the block was essentially there was a disagreement on how he was getting guys involved and getting rookies on the field and rotating an offensive line. And now, I wasn't all aboard rotating an offensive line at first, but I think for the product of player we have right now, and mainly being first, second-year guys on that offensive line, I think it's actually the best thing for us. Because as much as the Giants are now competing for a playoff spot, I think if you ask any fan this year what you were expecting was progress and kind of finding out what we have on this team and finding out what we're going to be moving forward. Again, the Giants may not be the youngest team on paper anymore, but as of last year, I think they were one or two. And even now, they have some veterans that will bring their age up, but they're definitely still above the middle of the pack. So when you have a young team like that, I think it's important to make sure you have a good blend of veterans and rookies, but get rookies some reps, especially in a season. We already talked about it. When there's no preseason, there are missed opportunities, missed reps in this offense that a lot of the younger guys aren't going to get. And coming into the season, rookies were going to have a tough time to begin with. And I think you saw at every position they've had some slow starts, but especially the offensive line. I think it's important for them to gel. And even with Colombo gone, again, tip of the cap to Joe Judge, because on this three-game winning streak, they've played their best brand of football up front. And it is insane to say the Giants did not allow a sack last week, and that was the first game without their offensive line coach. So it's easy to say that was a step in the right direction, regardless of who they have coaching these guys. So I like what they're doing right now. I don't want to get too ahead of myself and say everything's picture perfect. Again, 4-7, we obviously could be a lot better. But from a progress standpoint to what you said, I mean, you can't really ask for more. You're getting the most out of guys you really didn't expect to even see this year.
You know, I think you expressed your point clearly when it came to Judge versus Colombo with what you tweeted out, the picture of Colombo face first down inside a boxing ring. So I think you made it pretty clear.
Nate Robinson.
Yeah. I want to get to Evan Engram. You know, he was a first-round pick 3 years ago. He's caught more balls than anybody on the team. But would I be accurate in saying there might not be another guy around who in the same game will make you cheer and curse out loud multiple ways than this guy?
Oh, my God. Well, so throughout the season, for me, I think my biggest issue with Engram is kind of how the Giants have been using him. And I get what they think. He's a first-round talent and all this good stuff. But for me, you've just seen enough in the body of work outside of his rookie year, which is what I think the Giants are leaning on to. And when they're pumping him with, you know, 7, 8 to 10 targets a game, I just, at this point, don't think Ingram's that player. Now, the Giants view him very highly, and he was in the mix for a lot of trade talks. Apparently people have a lot of interest in him, but the Giants didn't want to budge. Now, I'm not sure exactly where that's coming from. Obviously, like you just said, you want to cheer and you want to rip your hair out, and I think a lot of the reason is because not only is he dropping the ball, though, but I think he's messing up Danny's game and the rhythm of the offense more than anything. A lot of these tip passes are being intercepted. He was responsible for a fumble that Danny took a knock for earlier in this season, because they're trying to find ways to get Engram the ball, because when he starts dropping the ball, it's like, this is our best playmaker. We got to get him involved. And I think they're just, they're making Ingram a square peg, and they're trying to fit him into a round circle right now. They have him playing receiver. They're trying to have him blocked. And I think it's a little too much for him. And I'm just not convinced that it's ever really going to work out with him, unfortunately, in New York. Now, with that said, we have to rely on him moving forward this year. And I think after he's had those bumps, costed us a game in Philadelphia on a gigantic drop, the pressure's kind of eased off him a little bit. You know, how much worse can it really get? You can't get much worse for Evan Ingram. But we're going to need him. But I think we need him in a way that, you know, you saw it the last couple of weeks. He's an important role player, but you don't need him in order for the offense to be successful. It's important to have a tight end that works in this RPO offense, but he is not the bread and butter. I think if you look at it, it's the ground game and having Danny being able to be mobile and make quick and smart reads.
A few final thoughts, talking G-Men with Steven Rodriguez of the Believe in NY Football podcast. During this three-game win streak, we've seen Wayne Gallman emerge a little bit, sprinkle in some Deion Lewis and Alfred Morris, and obviously losing Saquon was a blow. But how you feeling about the running game maybe stabilizing and being a little more consistent at this point?
I couldn't even express the excitement I have with this offense and what we've been able to get out of Wayne Gallman. Now, Gallman, you think back to Chicago when Saquon got hurt, was a healthy scratch, and has come to this point where he scored now a touchdown in five consecutive games, one of the longest streaks in the NFL right now. And that's a big testament to the offensive line, but it's a big, big credit to what Gallman's been able to do this season. Now, I think he's running as hard as he is because he's looking for a payday after this year. And heck, whatever your motivation is, it's your motivation. And I think the Giants will have some decisions to make in terms of when Barkley comes back from injury next year, do they want to have a two-back system? When are they bringing Barkley back? And seeing this production from Gallman, and he's been with the Giants forever, it makes you try to wonder, as a Giant fan, can these two coincide? Can Gallman be a guy to really spell Saquon next year or even help him from not being rushed back? I think what we're getting out of Gallman may be his ceiling, but you know, I think when you look down the road, when Saquon does come back with this team, if this is a ceiling, that's still amazing to have as an RB2. And I think, if anything, Giants fans are looking at this success as, wow, this is incredible. This is how our offense needs to be, and this is where the success comes from. But it's also that maybe we want Gallman back next year. You know, there was a lot of hype about Deion Lewis and Devontae Freeman, and those guys aren't getting a peep anymore. We got Alfred Morris on the field selling Wayne Gallman as if it was like 2007. So this is a Gallman show right now, and he's playing out of his mind, and he's really making the Giants think right now on whether or not they want to keep him or what they're going to do with this backfield while Saquon's handling this injury.
You know, you mentioned the defense, and being out here in Pac-12 country, the Giants made a move. They brought in Blake Martinez from the Packers. We know him very well from his college days at Stanford. Mm-hmm. That was a big move because, you know, this is a team that ranked 30th in points allowed last year. So your observation, you know, about the kind of player he's been playing inside for this defense.
Well, early in the season, it was a godsend. I will say Blake's kind of getting some wear and tear on him as of late. He's my favorite Giant as of right now. I mean, top five in the league. He's been a top five tackler in the NFL, I think, for the last three seasons. There's no reason that he probably won't finish top two or three this year. A godsend for sure in terms of what the Giants were getting out of a guy like Alec Ogletree last year. I mean, Blake has just really become the captain and embodied this defense, whether his play is always on point or not, whether you want to knock his pass coverage or not. He embodies what a Giants player should be. Hard nose, motor the entire way, and really just brings everyone together, I think, on this defense. And you're really starting to see people buy in. I tip my cap to Patrick Graham, and you really can't do it enough because, you know, Blake and James Bradbury were our gigantic free agent signings that a lot of people didn't really have too much faith in. And they're really proving to be probably two of the best finds of this free agency. And the way they've been able to get those free agents to gel with the guys they've had there in Peppers and their defensive line with Dalvin Tomlinson and Leonard Williams, and you got B.J. Hill. And then you bring in a guy like Logan Ryan almost 2 weeks before the season, and you're somehow just making it all look so seamless. I mean, most of the Giants' pressure aren't coming from straight blitzes. They're coming from schemes, and it's because they've been able to coach all these players up to the point where they're on the same page and they can really mess with some offenses. So expect that this Sunday in Seattle. Expect Blake to be at the line and pull back to drop in coverage. You're going to see safeties in the block. Xavier McKinney didn't play a lot last week in Cincinnati. He may be used. The Giants have a lot of these shifty safeties. You're Pac-12 country. We have a man in Darnay Holmes out of UCLA who has been a diamond in the rough for this Giants team as well. He's been a big-time nickel guy, and you will see him off the edge as well. So I love what they're getting out of this defense, and it all kind of circles back to the big signing in Blake Martinez, but as well as James Bradbury.
Yep, we know the history of this franchise. You need excellence on defense to contend. I really love this group. Steve, means a lot. They took the time to chat with us. He's Steven Rodriguez. He hosts the NY Football Pod on the Fantastic Believe Podcast Network. You could use the handle at @TinoRodriguez_ on Twitter. Hey, thanks so much for joining us, man. A lot of fun. Go Giants, and I hope we can catch up again down the road.
Steve, thanks so much, man. Let's go Giants first place, and we will talk soon, man. Thanks for having me on. Enjoy your day.
All right, take it easy.